Jesus' final instructions, his final words to his disciples was to go out into the world and to spread the good news of his message and of his mission. Jesus wanted them to share with everyone what they had seen and heard and learned and experienced so that others would also have an opportunity to find what they had found and to gain what they had gained. And the disciples were faithful to this call. And the good news about Jesus spread. But this call to spread the word about Jesus and the good news about the full meaning of his life, death, and resurrection was not just for Jesus' first century followers. It's also for his 21st century followers. Everyone who follows Jesus is called to share about Jesus with others, our friends, our families, our coworkers, our teammates, even with strangers. But as clear as this calling might be, sometimes we still face reasons not to do it. Sometimes we're not sure what to say, or we're afraid of what kind of follow-up questions we might get if we were to say something. Maybe we've been led to believe that faith is something that should be private and personal. You are more than welcome to believe whatever it is that you want, but keep it to yourself. Sometimes we just fear looking foolish in the eyes of others. We wonder if people might think we're simple-minded or even old-fashioned for admitting that we believe in God. Sometimes we're afraid of experiencing rejection and scorn because of some of the issues, some of the controversial issues that are rightly or wrongly associated with Christians today. There are lots of good reasons not to talk about Jesus today. But this is not a new challenge. Even Jesus' earliest followers did not have to look very far to find reasons not to talk about Jesus. The Apostle Paul had good reasons not to talk about Jesus. Most of the people that he went to talk to, the Gentiles, they already worshiped other gods. They already had their own beliefs. So many of them didn't see any reason why they should worship the Jewish God. And Paul's claim that Jesus is God who became one of us, that just seemed kind of ridiculous to them. Many of the Jews were not open to Paul's message either. They believed in only one God, Yahweh, the Lord, and they were unwilling to believe that it was possible that Jesus could be his son. And then that Jesus was rejected by the Jewish religious leaders, that he was arrested by the Romans, that he was executed on the cross like a common criminal, kind of sealed the deal for them. I mean, to be crucified was truly the most shameful way to die. And it didn't matter that, you know, some of his disciples made this claim that he'd risen from the dead. There was simply no way in their minds that God would allow such a death to happen if Jesus was, in fact, his son. So Paul had lots of good reasons not to talk about Jesus with others. But he did it anyway. And this morning we're going to find out why. We're at the beginning of a series that we're doing in from the New Testament book of Romans. And this book is actually a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church that was located in this city of Rome. And in fact, it's one of several letters that Paul wrote to various churches and church leaders that are now collected together and make up a significant portion of our New Testament. Well, Paul wrote this letter to the church in Rome because he wanted to encourage their faith, but he also wanted to make sure that they understood the message of Jesus and about Jesus, what he calls the gospel. See, Paul was planning to take this message to Spain, and he hoped that this church in Rome that he had not yet ever visited would be willing to assist him in this effort. Well, this morning, we are going to hear that Paul is decidedly unashamed of this gospel message. And we're going to learn why this gospel is something that we should not be ashamed of either. And so if you've got a Bible, real life in-person Bible, paper Bible, I want to invite you to open to Romans chapter 1. If you've got a Bible app or on your phone or tablet, join us in Romans chapter 1. Now, Paul declares that he's not ashamed of the gospel. Declares to the church in Rome that he's not ashamed of the gospel. And then he explains to them why. Kind of gives them an overview. Now, last week, we looked at the opening verses of this letter. And we saw that Paul begins by introducing himself. But now he's going to get right to the point. I'm actually going to start reading back in verse 14, even though that's part of what we looked at last week. But it just helps the text flow better. But here's what Paul writes, starting in Romans 1, verse 14. I'm obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Now, if we were to have to reduce the whole book of Romans down to just a few sentences, I do not think that we could do any better than to simply repeat what Paul has written here in verses 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. I would say that Paul is making his position on the gospel pretty clear. Paul has faced a lot of hardship and difficulty for following Jesus and for sharing his message, but Paul will not be ashamed of it. Paul has been mocked, he's been threatened, he's been arrested, beaten, condemned, he's been called a heretic. He's been rejected by many of his own people, probably even members of his own family. Following Jesus and sharing the gospel, it has cost him socially, it has cost him financially, it has cost him relationally, it has cost him physically, but he will not be ashamed of it. And he wants the people in the church in Rome to feel the same way, and so he tells them why he is unashamed of the gospel. I'm going to break it down to you into three reasons that we see here. First, Paul tells the church in Rome that the gospel, it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. So this gospel has power. It's a story, but it's not just a story. It's a way of living, but it's not just a philosophy. It's a personal conviction, but it was never designed to be a private one. And it speaks into all cultures, but it's never been just a part of culture. The gospel is the power of God that brings salvation. It saves people. It has the power to save people. Not simply by the power of persuasion, but by the power of God. It isn't just about changing someone's mind. It's actually about changing somebody's life, present, future, even eternal. It certainly saved and changed Paul. It transformed one of the greatest enemies of the church into one of the church's greatest missionaries. That is the power of God. That is the kind of power that is at work in this gospel. Now, we've actually been talking about the concept of salvation in the Sunday school class that I lead before the service. It starts at 9:15. This is a shameless plug. You should come and be a part of it. class is called Theology for Everyone. And we are taking a deep dive into what the Bible teaches us about salvation. In fact, I think my class almost drowned today. But I can pretty much guarantee you that salvation is bigger and better and richer than you think it is. And we're able to get into that in much more detail in that class than we're able to do here on Sunday mornings. So come and be a part of it. Salvation, to be saved, it's about being rescued. In this case, Paul is talking about being rescued from sin, death, and Satan. The enslaving power of sin, the permanent consequence of death, the demonic power of Satan. The gospel has the power to save us from all these things. Paul will not be ashamed of a message that has that kind of power to change and to save lives. And neither should we. In the second half of verse 17 there, Paul says that this salvation is for everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. Now, what I want you to notice there is that this salvation that Paul is talking about, it is simultaneously boundless and boundaried. This salvation, this rescue from God, it is made available to everyone. So in that sense, it is boundless. But it's only given to those who believe. And so it is also boundaried. It is restricted in that it is given only to those who believe. So if you're here this morning and you're someone who believes the gospel message as it's presented to us in the Bible, that means you are saved. The power of God is already at work in you to save you from sin, death, and from Satan. But if you are here this morning and you don't believe the gospel message as it's been presented to us in the Bible, maybe it's either because it's just never been made clear to you, never explained to you, or maybe it just hasn't seemed up to this point as something that you should even care about, or just doesn't seem like it's something that's for you. What you need to understand is that this salvation, it's available to you, but you're not saved. Not unless you decide to believe. It means that the power of God has not yet saved you from sin, death, and Satan. And we'll come back to that again in a few minutes. Now, in that part of verse 17 that I read, you probably also noticed that there is a Jewish priority to this salvation. Jesus is a Jew. He came as the fulfillment to the promises that God had made to the Jewish nation. He came to them first. But God's great rescue plan was never intended to be only for the Jews. In fact, that's why Paul was appointed by Jesus to take this gospel across the Roman world, and why he's now writing in part to the church in Rome, because he's now setting the groundwork for being able to take it on into Spain. And so Paul will not be ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God to save people and to change people. But Paul has even more reasons why he will not be ashamed of the gospel. The second reason that Paul will not be ashamed of the gospel is that it reveals how we can be made right with God once again. Look again at verse 17. He says, "For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last." Now this phrase, the righteousness of God, it's really important in the book of Romans. In fact, it's really important in the entire Bible. And depending on the context in which this phrase is used, it can have a range of meaning. It can be used to define God's character. God is righteous. But it can also be used to describe God's actions in the world. In this case, here in verse 17, Paul is using it to refer to what God does in order to make us right with him again. And so what Paul is saying here is that the gospel reveals how God can make people like us right with God again. And we need that kind of reconciliation to take place, because our sin has broken our relationship with God. We've all been cut off from him because of our rebellion against him. In fact, later on in this letter, Paul continues, he continues to talk about this and unpack it. He's even going to refer to us all as being enemies of God. At one point, we were all enemies of God. That's how broken that relationship is. And I suspect that most people, even if they never say it out loud, but if they're really honest with themselves, I think most of us can sense that this is in fact true, that we are in fact enemies of God and cut off from him. I mean, even if we can't necessarily name it or even put our finger on it, we all have this nagging awareness, sometimes an overwhelming awareness, that we are not right with God. That we know, even if in the privacy of our own hearts, that we've not lived up to his expectations for us. We know that we don't measure up to how he's called us to live. And the reason that we feel that way is because it's true. It's true. But even though this is our fault, God has made a way for us to be right with him again. And it's revealed in this gospel. And what is revealed is a righteousness, a rightness with God that is by faith from first to last. In other words, it's a righteousness that only comes through faith, through trust in God, through belief in Jesus. See, we cannot get right with God by doing the right things. Doesn't matter how many times you go to church, how often you read your Bible, how many prayers you say, you can give everything you've got in the offering plate. You can feed the poor. You can clothe the naked. I mean, those are all good things. I mean, don't give all your money in the offering plate. Those are all good things. Those are all things that please God. But they're not good enough on their own in order to make you right with God again. In fact, you could spend a lifetime doing all these good things, and it is not going to be enough. The only way to be made righteous, the only way to be made right with God again, is through faith. Believing in Jesus and in his gospel message. Now, everything that I've just said only actually explains the means by which we can be made right with God again. It doesn't actually explain how all of that works. And so if you're paying attention and you have this in an inquisitive mind, you likely have some questions about this. And that's good, because you should. And Paul will in fact speak to these things. Right now he's just kind of giving an overview. He's kind of giving a summary. He's going to dig much deeper into all these things. And he will in fact talk about how this can actually happen. How God can do these things. And he'll do it later in the letter, and we will eventually get to it. Just not this morning. But for now, let me say this. This is the second reason why Paul will not be ashamed of the gospel. It's because the gospel reveals that we can be made right with God again through faith. Now, the third and the final reason that Paul will not be ashamed of the gospel is that actually this has always been God's plan. See, the appearance of Jesus didn't change the gospel rescue plan. It didn't change God's great rescue plan, rather, for the world. It didn't change the gospel rescue plan either. This gospel was always intended to center on Jesus. God always intended to bring salvation to people through Jesus. And the means of being made right with God was always going to be through faith and not through our efforts. In fact, Paul alludes to this because of what he does in the second half of verse 17. There he quotes from an Old Testament prophet named Habakkuk. And this Old Testament prophet had himself declared, again, remember, this is all before Jesus, had himself declared that the righteous will live by faith. Those who are right with God will live by faith. Faith has always been, faith will always be the only way that we can be right with God. As you're sitting here this morning in the sanctuary, here in Dayton, rural Oregon, beautiful rural Oregon, here in the United States, North America, here in September of 2021, whether you know it or not, whether you see it or not, whether you are experiencing it or not, you are actually participating in something that is far bigger than you can see or hear. It's far bigger than you can even imagine. See, all around you, all around us, God is doing what he has actually been doing from the very beginning. God is actively bringing to fulfillment his great unstoppable plan to redeem a people for himself, as well as to finally and forever fix all that's broken in our world. This is the power of God that's in the gospel that brings salvation to all who believe and who makes them right with God through faith. In a few minutes, we're going to sing together our closing song. I'm going to stand up here and I'm going to deliver the blessing, and you're all going to walk out of here. But hear this, when you walk out of here this morning, you are going to be leaving here with the power to save people. Not your power, but God's power. Saving, redeeming power that's located in a message, that's located in a declaration of good news, that's located in a person, Jesus Christ. And it's a salvation that's been made available to everyone, but it's only realized, it's only experienced, it's only received by those who choose to believe it. And so as you leave here this morning, some of the people that you encounter out there, they are going to want to hear it. Some are going to need to hear it a whole bunch of times before they respond to it. And others, they're just never going to want it at all. But regardless, it is not something for us to be ashamed of. Because in this gospel is the power of God to save us and even to save the whole world. And because in this gospel is our only opportunity to be made right with God. And all it takes is a willingness for us to put our faith in him and what he has already done for us. Let me pray as the worship team comes up. Father, we praise you and we worship you for your glory, for your holiness, for your love, and for your righteousness. We thank you for the salvation that you've brought to our world as part of your great unstoppable plan to rescue and to redeem a people for yourself. And we ask that you would call many to believe. Jesus, we pledge to you our love and our loyalty as our true rescuer king. Lead us as we seek to live faithfully, joyfully in this beautiful but broken world. Teach us to love and to lead and to serve others like you want us to. And show us how to follow you in sharing your gospel message with others. Holy Spirit, we ask you to fill us with the confidence to share the gospel as we should. We pray for opportunities as well as the courage to make the most of them. Put people in our path that we can share the gospel with, at our lunch tables, in our neighborhoods, at our work. In spirit, we ask you to enable them to see just how good this news is and then come to believe that it's also true. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I don't want to end this morning, though, without giving an invitation to anyone who might want to respond to what Paul has taught us here. This salvation that Paul has talked about, that we've now talked about, it is available to anyone, to everyone who wants to believe. The gospel of Jesus is the way that we can be made right with God again. And it doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter where we've been. It doesn't matter what we've done. Each of us can be made right with God again through faith. Because that is the essence of the gospel. It is a righteousness from God that he gives us through faith. And that's not something that we should ever be ashamed of. If you happen to have questions about this, if you want to learn more, if you want to even just pray, I'll be at the back of the sanctuary at the end of the service. I'm always happy to do that. I'd talk to you after the service. We can make an appointment during the week to sit down and talk if you'd like. But this salvation is real. This salvation changes everything. This salvation is available to you. You just got to believe. Will you stand with me as we sing our closing song together?